Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And, Jim, we have good news, bad news, and crazy news, as always. The good news, once again, just like it was yesterday, in response to the president's gun control agenda, as expected, the president announced pretty much what we expected in terms of his legislative agenda, you know, universal background checks, banning assault weapons, which really means the vast majority of guns, radically reducing the number of bullets in a magazine. And then he had 23 different executive actions. And while Kentucky Senator Rand Paul is pretty much opposed to just about everything of it, the thing, in addition to the legislation that he doesn't want to pass, that he's looking at very closely, are these executive actions. He says some of them very much smack of legislative action by the president without the consent of Congress, and so he is taking action to combat that.
You know, our founding fathers were very concerned about having a separation of powers. They didn't want to let the president become a king. And so they wanted to say the Congress was the one to legislate, not the president. So we have a bill that we're going to introduce early next week. And in this bill, we will nullify anything the president does that smacks of legislation. And there are several of the executive orders that appear as if he's writing new law. That cannot happen. We struck down once. The court struck Clinton down for trying this. And I'm afraid that President Obama may have this king complex sort of developing, and we're going to make sure that it doesn't happen.
Now, Jim, whether or not Rand Paul can get that legislation through the Senate is a major question. But the fact that the conservatives are showing that they're not even willing to accept the executive actions sends a clear message to the president that his legislative goals are in big, big trouble.
But first of all, we should be quick to emphasize, after promising that he'd be announcing 23 executive orders, it actually was 23 executive actions. And the question of, well, you're saying, well, what is the difference of that? What does that mean? Well, traditionally, an executive order is the president giving an order or a direct request or something to other parts of the executive branch of government saying, do this. And obviously, there's a good deal of precedent of what sorts of things a president can ask his staff to do. I think you could tell that they were really trying to fluff up that list and really kind of just put in as many stuff as possible. I mean, the one that stood out to me was nominate an ATF director. Greg, I don't know about you. That, as I said in the jolt, that sounds like something you write on a post-it note as a reminder, you know. It's really more of an indictment to Obama that he appointed somebody, you know, way back in the beginning of his first term that was unacceptable to the Senate and so never, you know, got confirmed by the Senate. Why he can't find somebody to just run the ATF who will not cause enormous consternation strikes me as a bizarre, you know, set of circumstances. You look at some of these things and they're, you know, very generic. You know, launch a national dialogue on mental health led by Secretary Sebelius and Duncan. Well, yeah, how do you measure that? You know, we had a national dialogue. There you go. You know, it's kind of a salute. You know, it's a substitute for real policy proposals there. So let's not, you know, ignore that there was a great deal of smoke and mirrors and stagecraft doing their best to put as many things out there that really do to make it look like they're taking action that are, you know, a national dialogue in mental health could do a lot of good, could do no good, could be, you know, all window dressing. And that's what I think we're probably going to get out of this. But it's kind of interesting that the administration felt the need to tout this, even on their own website, saying this was 23 executive orders, when in fact, I believe of them, only three of them kind of had the force of law of actually changing any policies there.
Very interesting. Yeah, the president, you mentioned the nomination of the ATF director. He was demanding that Congress confirm an ATF director that he hasn't actually nominated yet. I thought that was an interesting episode in browbeating.
You know, there's something about a cart and a horse and which one goes first and all that stuff. But what yesterday was all about was we had something really horrific occur in Connecticut last month. And as a result of that, people want to feel better. And all of these proposals are meant to end up, oh, we did something. Now we feel better. Even though I think almost no one really genuinely thinks that they're going to actually change anything. If most of these things had been in effect before Newtown, almost none of them would have had any impact on the terrible events whatsoever.
Yeah. Kudos, though, to Rand Paul, because there are some things in there that are very vague about, you know, making sure that gun violence doesn't happen. I mean, that can leave it open to just about everything. And,
yeah.
And especially some of the demands that they're putting on medical professionals now to basically be snitches, where in some cases, you know, that's perhaps the responsible thing to do. But it's almost like they're begging for a list of people who probably shouldn't have weapons. And I think that could potentially go too far. On to Martini number two now, Jim. And you may remember the third presidential debate when Bob Schieffer led off with Benghazi and asked Mitt Romney about that. And everyone was so bewildered by why Mitt Romney didn't really talk about Benghazi, instead talked about the radical Islamic infiltration of Mali. Well, now we know why. They are taking over in Mali. The French are now going in there to try and root them out. And just a short time after that, as we saw yesterday, this massive hostage-taking exercise, I think there were 41 hostages, reports said anywhere from 3 to 7 Americans in that process. Then the Algerian military tried to rescue them. 25 or so got away. 6 are dead. 8 of the captors are dead. And we still don't know what the fate of the however many Americans is there. But the obvious bad news here is that the ongoing Obama narrative that al-Qaeda and radical Islam has been decimated as a result of his policies is simply patently false. And it's not only false, it's clearly on the rise in North Africa, where our policies are mixed at best and horrific at worst, at least the way they seem to be trending.
Africa is one of those portions of the world that is often lamented, and you'll occasionally get the you know, tear-jerking coverage of awful massacres and things like Rwanda over there. But it's very tough to get the U.S. public to pay much attention to Africa on a sustained basis, and I'm not even sure that the recent horrific events there are going to do so. When Romney made that comment in the debate, I remember a lot of folks saying, "Who's Mali?" Thinking Mali was a person's name, not the country, M-A-L-I. And what happened was, is that, look, as we have gotten more aggressive against al-Qaeda in the Middle East, they have dispersed and they have gone to other, you know, fertile grounds for their radical interpretation of Islam and worldview and you know, folks who want to go play insurgent and fight the governments that they deem, you know, too soft on the infidels and stuff like that. And that's what's going on in Mali. That's why the French are intervening militarily there. It's unclear exactly how much assistance we're giving to the French. This is, you know, stirring up the hornet's nest of Islamists all over the African continent. And we saw this attack in Algeria. Unfortunately, no, al-Qaeda is not, you know, as somebody had put it in the Washington Post today, bin Laden is dead, but bin Ladenism, the philosophy that Osama bin Laden promoted, is not dead. And we're seeing it in this you know, attempt to take hostages up in Algeria. And, you know, in a bunch of bad circumstances, Greg, if you or I ever end up in a dire spot, I hope the Algerian army isn't the folks they send to rescue us, because it sounds like the tactics that they use contributed to a lot of hostages dying. Maybe it's that the Algerian army isn't trained and equipped and all set to do a very complicated and dangerous hostage rescue mission. Or it may simply be the philosophy of the Algerian government that if you take hostages, we don't care. We'll just kill all of you. We're not interested in this sort of thing. The situation is still very murky, contradictory reports coming from on the ground, but it looks like there's a lot of dead innocent people there. And it's worth noting the threat of al-Qaeda is not gone just because we, you know, thankfully killed off Osama bin Laden. And it may be moving to very different battlefields that we may not be quite up to speed to deal with at this point.
That could be. And there's people who will disagree on this point, but especially since we don't know all the details yet. And in fact, we don't know a lot of the details. But the fact that there's been virtually nothing stated in statement form or spoken form by the administration, I think, bothers a lot of people. And we've seen that before, so it doesn't come as a huge surprise. But the fact that they're silent at a time when at least some Americans are in harm's way, it strikes a lot of people as, well, leading from behind, for lack of a better phrase, I think. On to martini number three now, Jim, and back to the president's gun announcement yesterday. Yesterday, our crazy martini was the fact that he would be surrounding himself with children. Turns out there were four. He read their letters about how they just want everybody to be safe, and so he had no choice but to do this for the children. Well, in addition to his push for universal background checks and assault weapon bans and the magazine issue and so forth, there was also one more that I think struck both of us and a lot of other conservatives as bitterly ironic. Here was one of the other major provisions that the president wants Congress to pass.
And finally, Congress needs to help rather than hinder law enforcement as it does its job. We should get tougher on people who buy guns with the express purpose of turning around and selling them to criminals. And we should severely punish anybody who helps them do this.
Jim, if he means that, why didn't he arrest Eric Holder on the spot?
Very good question, Greg. I'm going to read to you one paragraph from a Washington Post editorial today. This is the House editorials, the editors of the paper speaking. A third needed measure would close a loophole that allows straw buyers to receive only a slap on the wrist for passing a gun to a criminal or trafficker. In addition to making it easier for American criminals to acquire guns, straw purchases have been central to the trafficking of U.S. guns to Mexico, where they have fueled an epidemic of drug-related murders. Greg, can you think of three words that are missing there? Three words that are really relevant to that phenomenon that are worth bringing up in this context? I'll give you a hint. The middle one is an ampersand, okay?
Do the other two start with F?
Yes, and, you know, although maybe some listeners are giving other F words right now in response to the audacity of this administration. Fast and furious. Just mind-boggling. And by the way, in and of itself, you know, being a straw buyer, yeah, maybe you deserve more than a slap on a list for, on the wrist for that. But for the same administration that led hundreds upon hundreds of guns end up in the hands of drug cartels, where they were used for all kinds of murders all over Mexico, and then to kill a U.S. Border Patrol agent, to then stand there and tell the American people that somehow we've failed. I don't mean we as in the government. I mean we as in the people have failed by having lax laws. Hey, guys. Maybe we could help the situation of gun violence if you guys would stop doing extraordinarily dangerous and some would argue downright illegal sting operations that end up not getting any guns off the streets and in fact put more guns in the hands of the bad guys. So that's why it's the crazy martini people.
Instead of arresting Eric Holder on the spot, of course, he's been retained. So
yes. You
can obviously see where the commitment to this administration lies on this and so many other issues. You have to pay the price, America. Certainly not them. Jim, another amazing day. Talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to this. Week can't end soon enough, Greg.
Absolutely right. Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.